Well, good morning, Roger. Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast this week. Just recapping, fantastic scenes out of your hometown, Adelaide, mate. It was great to see Ashwin and great to see the tennis public in Adelaide get behind the event.
Yeah, good morning. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. It was an event that we were hoping we were going to get into Adelaide. There was a lot of work behind the scenes to make that happen. Then you spend the millions of dollars on a canopy or roof over the top. And I think just the location and the ability for players to walk across a small bridge and then to the court. So there was no courtesy cars being taken, long waits in cars. And so the effectiveness for the players was there, and the Adelaide fans, the public supported it really heavily. And obviously when you're headlined with the world number one player, Ash Barty, and originally Novak was turning up and unfortunately had to pull out due to his workload. It was a great week in entertainment, and it was they put the bums on the seats.
Well, everyone's excited, and we're all excited about Ash Barty and Nick Kyrgios. But with Ash being number one in the world, how's the preparation been? What's her temperament like, and how do you think things will stack up for her?
Yeah, it's an interesting 2 weeks. The conditions are going to be changing a lot. We're going to get some rain. Well, supposedly it's not raining at the moment here, but we're meant to get some rain. But it won't affect someone like Ash. She's indoors. They've obviously got the roof and three roofs. She's got quite a calm persona anyway. It's very laid back. It goes with the flow. Has been able to really embrace having a number one near her name. And sometimes, there's once they get there, it's very hard for them to handle the extra activity that surrounds it. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that your time's taken away with all the extra activity that's around it, through the publicity, through the sponsorship, through all those, and then the extra endorsements that come your way, which have attachments to them. So, but for Ash, she's as I said, she's pretty laid back. There's not a lot of intensity around her group as well. Whoever sits under her umbrella is very similar in nature, and they just go out there and she's about enjoying it and actually using the assets around her the best way she can. Sure, she'll be nervous. There's no doubt about that. Who wouldn't be? Regardless of whether she's number one in the world or 20 in the world or whatever it is, you still have those nerves. I think the level of expectation, though, from the Australian public obviously goes to another level. And, she'll respond to that. I like her draw. She's not going to have a problem tonight. There's no way there. Her opponent's won four titles, but sits outside the top 100 at the moment. So has had a career high of 23. So there's been, she obviously can play, but right now Ash is going to have too many weapons for her. And at 7 p.m., that's a prime time, time slot for someone to come and upset the number one player in the world. And I don't think it's going to happen tonight. And I see when I look through and visualise the draw, I just don't see Ash getting challenged. When I say challenged, realistically, now that can change to about the quarterfinals. I think her first week's going to be pretty sound.
Okay.
There'll be some opportunities, obviously. There'll be some moments, but if she plays her best tennis, and she definitely got better and better through the course of Adelaide, there's no doubt about it. She needed those matches. I think her first week's going to be comfortable.
Two bets in relation to her at the tab, mate. Do you think one that she will make the quarterfinals? If you do, that's $1.75. So is that just a lock that she does make the quarters?
I think we're gonna get through to that spot, and then there's potentially Madison Keys, Kvitova, Sakari, who's a Greek girl who's really who's strong and powerful. So there's some power hitting players that are in that little section in the third and fourth round that have got to get to Ash in the quarterfinals, and then. As I said, I think we're going to see her there in the second week.
Okay. What about Serena? Can she add to her 23 Grand Slams?
What a great record. Everyone talked about Serena last year not having great year. She made all four Grand Slam finals. I mean, I'd reckon that's not a bad year, wouldn't you? It's not a great year in her books, as you said, Laurie. With the number of Grand Slams that she's going for, but you put yourself out there on the last day every time, and you're a fair chance. So I just think when she makes the draw, when she's in the draw, Serena, for mine, she's the favourite. Had a body of work in Auckland, won in Auckland, so hadn't won a title for a while. So that's a great entry and entree to the Australian Open. And so I think, you know, at the moment she's a slight favourite for mine behind Ash to take the $4.12 million first prize.
Wow. On the men's side of things, Djokovic very short at that 220. Are you concerned at all about these guys that have played those hard matches in the ATP Cup? Do we have to look at this as a form reference now, and maybe does a Federer or even a Kyrgios come into a calculation?
No, I think it's gold. I think the preparation going in is brilliant. I mean, imagine playing those type of matches, those conditions, switching your mind on where you have to engage in the big moments and actually try and get yourself out of so many pressure point moments. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing generally is we talk about players, they're a bit underdone. They haven't had those matches that engages you physically and emotionally, whereas the ATP Cup brought that. And then it's, you know, potentially, you know, do they have that week off? The history is that all the players that have potentially can win a major tend to not play the week before. And that's been what we've seen around the world. That's what I've done with my players, is that you just, you know, we have that week to control that week how we wish. So Novak's had an amazing run there and played some great form. He was Nadal also, you know, played some really high level tennis and pressure tennis as well. So those two guys would be cherry ripe jumping in. It's just managing the fortnight, which they've done on so many occasions. So Novak, yeah, for mine, definitely sits there. It's his best surface, and he's, you know, he's just been a master here, and it feels like home to him. And but Roger not playing, you know, that's a question mark. People say, well, does he need to play? Does he not need to play? I think he's been around long enough to know what he needs. He needed some extra time off with his family, but, you know, just more to feel good about coming into the Australian Open. He starts tonight. Against Stevie Johnson in the USA today, the last match on centre court. I don't see anything. I think it's a good starter for him. I don't think Stevie can actually. He's struggling. He's actually playing. He played in a challenger match in Bendigo and lost in the quarterfinal. So a really comfortable start for Roger. Big one for me, boys, today though is really should be an interesting match. I'm not sure if you've heard much about Coco Gauff. She's a young 15-year-old American. She qualified at Wimbledon last year and got Serena Venus Williams in the first round and beat her in straight sets, which was amazing eyeballs on her all of a sudden globally in the world of sports. She's 5'9", very athletic, very much the type of athlete of that Venus is. And they're up again, first round, third match today on Margaret Court Arena. So 39-year-old Venus hasn't played, had a bit of a hip injury for the last couple of weeks. That's going to be a very interesting match. And don't be surprised if the 15-year-old gets through and has the head-to-head as 2-0 her way.
What about Kyrgios, mate? How far do you see him going in this tournament?
Yeah, look, he's got some. He's definitely in good shape. And when I say good shape, mentally, he's in good shape. He's been. You know, Nick's always had to play for a cause. You know, for something.
Yep.
And you know, we know he likes playing in the team competition. He's also now, you know, with the bushfires and the rally for relief. You know, he's really sort of. You know, he's been definitely affected by it, and he's actually been using that as a stimulus to, you know, to over the first couple of weeks. So I think it'll continue. So he's going to go. I think he's got, you know, he's got an opportunity to get to Rafa, and that would be Rafa in a fourth round. Yeah. So I see him getting to that stage, to the third round, and then he's got a big match against a Russian Khachanov, who's a quality player, Russian, who's had some form, but he can still get through that one. So that's going to be his big one in the third round. To get through someone like Khachanov and into Nadal, but
there's history there between him and Nadal, isn't there?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, there's not. You know, it's more. It's just more about. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a big enough history to it's a bit of a ripple. You know, there was a ripple moment, and I think that sort of passed and moved on. But you know, there's some work to be done. I think Rafa gets through. I don't see. There's no one when I look through the draw. Rafa definitely isn't that fourth round time slot. But for Nick, he's going to have to do some work in that third round against Khachanov. That's going to be a big match for him, and it'll show where his form's at leading into that one.
Now, we were chatting before, and I put Loz on the spot. We were chatting about who you'd like to have a beer with, Djokovic, Nadal or Federer. Now, you're at the coalface.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you picking?
I'd like to have dinner with Rafa and Roger.
Yeah, well, it's funny because Loz gave Djokovic the Basil as well. Said no good.
Yeah,
well, and you probably can't say anything, but he just looks fake to me, Djokovic.
Yeah, well, I think Nick said that, didn't he? Mm. So made that comment. I think Roger and Rafa. I think they're pretty tight. They've always been tight. It was interesting at their rally for relief. Rafa made an announcement saying that Roger and I will donate $250,000 together. That was interesting. So I think those two are very much in sync in what the Loz and Dave of what the game means to them, the respect they give the game, what they they actually know that some people say I don't owe the sport anything.
They know they're custodians.
They very much know where they sit, what their responsibilities are. They have from virtually day one. It's very much about their upbringing. I mean, Rafa, for example, has never fired anybody in his team.
Wow.
Never sacked a person in his history of his coach career, and he's actually proud of that. He says it's just I bring people in. This is what we're about. Yeah. We sit with the same culture, and I'll never do that. So I think those two guys, they very much beat. They're different types of beasts on the tennis court, but internally their moral compass is very much in tune with each other. And so I'm with you, Loz. Having dinner and a beer with Roger and Rafa. It'd be a great conversation. And I can't wait for.
I tell you what, we'd bath it for you.
Hey, wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be great to be able to sit down with them and look at some of their and let them talk us through some of their big clutch matches where there were big moments and how they both felt at certain times? I mean, I think that would be a great documentary. I'm sure it'll be done at some time because just reliving it through. The player's mind, and if they can recall those little moments, would be because they had some absolute corkers. And look, so too has Novak's added to all this rivalry. His part to play in his history right now, and he's chasing down the 20 majors. By the time we get to the end of this year, Roger might not be the major. He might not hold the record. Rafa may. If Roger doesn't win a major this year, Rafa wins a couple. He's pretty much close to a lock-in at the French. We might be talking a different language as far as major wins. Who do you think's the greatest of all time? It's a great argument. It's not an argument, it's a discussion. I think it's about how you move the people outside the sport as well.
Very, very interesting, mate. We will talk to you through the next couple of weeks. So looking forward to it all unfolding. And go Ash Barty, mate. Let's just hope she gets it underway in fine style tonight, live on Channel 9. And I know that she's very short in the marketplace with the tab.
I think she'll give us a good ride. There's no doubt about that.
Thanks, Roger.
See you, boys.